when my first escrow office win, and she called me for $250, right, signing, I flipped that and I called up one of my sorority sisters.
If someone knows what they want and they know that you have it, then what's left to agree upon? When can you come? That's the question I'm wondering.
Let's talk about notary.
I'll give an example of what that looks like in the notary.
Fascinating. From the international best-selling author Tiger Toledo, the rise of the smart notary. The notary business will never be the same again. This book is designed and engineered to help notaries cash flow their business. And as a number one new release on Amazon and hitting the top five bestsellers list, this is the perfect gift for this holiday season. Buy one now for yourself and a fellow notary public. Available now on Amazon. Grab your copy today.
And if this book doesn't make you money,
you can block us.
If you're feeling the vibe, join the tried and subscribe.
That was good. Okay, go. Get out of here.
Could you be so hard?
No one man to have all that, all that. Peace. This is your international sales and marketing hit, man. Your humble hip hop sales coach, Tiger Toledo, and you already know what it is, man. You rocking with the best. You heard? So we are live. For those that got the backstage passes, you guys can comment, leave all kind of cool shit, hot hearts and everything. For those that are streaming live, you can leave your comments for the illustrious Kim Johnson that we have in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Kim Johnson, baby. How you feeling today, Queen?
Man, I'm feeling great, man. To be here with you on this platform with the family. Oh, I feel like a million bucks.
And you look like a million bucks.
Hey, listen. Come get about 40 pounds on me and I really feel like a million bucks.
For those that don't know, if you start seeing me throw the name T Diddy around, Kim is the one that gave me the name. So if y'all see T Diddy, that came from Kim. Just let y'all know. So Kim, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate you accepting the invitation. I've been watching you for a while. I can even remember the first time I saw you. It was Dominique, actually. She was doing like Gina, you was in this one. It was notaries that was packing that steel. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then, yeah.
And I remember I was like, yes, I seen
she started walk. You started it off fast.
Yeah, Kim was what had the blaze on. She was doing the thing and shit. And then she just stopped in front of the camera and then she like waved the hammer. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this? I was like, I gotta know her. I want to know
her. The only thing that I was missing was the James Bond music. You know what I mean?
Hey, go ahead.
So, Kim, yeah, for
that was my wife's idea. That was my wife's idea. Yeah, she put it together. She told me what to do, and I did it.
And I love that because we're gonna chop it up about that as well. I have a personal situation that's going on in the family, and I'd like to get your input on how we can, help one of my wife's cousins with something. But we'll get into that later.
Okay.
Let some people know who is Kim. I call you Kim Yanni. I thought that shit just sounds dope. So who is Kim Johnson?
All right. Good evening, everybody. This is Kim Johnson from Southeast DC, born and raised in the DC area. My home now is PG County. Listen, I'm just a regular person. I feel like that who I am is still in the making. So what I mean by that is that right now, I'm in a growth stage, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So right now, I am a woman, first of all. I know I got a swagger to me, but I'm a woman. I represent myself as a woman. strong, intelligent, go-getter, grinder, hustler, you know what I'm saying? Like, basically, I'm just a person that loves people. I mean, I can embrace anybody, Asian, Caucasian, anybody. People love me for some reason, you know, and I appreciate it, you know, but it's just, it's funny how I can embrace any type of person. So I'm a people, I'm for the people. I love helping people. I love just I put 1,000% into anything I do. If it's just, you know, a basic meeting with my notary meetings or my notary appointments, I'm putting 1,000% into that appointment. I don't care if it takes 5 minutes. That 5 minutes, that person gonna be like, I wanna use her again, or I wanna get to know her on a personal level. I've had so many customers that asked me for my personal number. I was like, hey, listen, you know, we're gonna keep it business, but I appreciate y'all. So, you know, I'm just a regular person, but I'm in an area right now in my life where I'm just growing astronomically. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You know, your energy is infectious. I gotta say, like, you have a high energy. I remember you would leave some comments on some of my posts, and your energy would actually come through the comments that you would leave. And I was like, damn, did she get me all hype and shit? I want to go, you know what I mean? Like, it made me want to like do more. And is that something that you always had, was a high energy level like that? Or is
to be honest with you, it developed over the years.
Okay.
Because I've had times in my life where I was very insecure, you know what I'm saying? In my early 20s and stuff like that. So I really didn't have a voice, you know what I'm saying? And it was because of my mentor, my other mother. She walked me through that, you know, to break those insecurities and be able to find out who I am as a person. And I found out that I'm a high energy person, you know what I'm saying? I just had different things, different roadblocks from, you know, coming up, growing up, situations I've been in that kind of put, you know, me in a shell. But once I started dealing with those real life issues, I discovered myself, and I discovered that I'm a high energy person. So I love, one thing about me, if I see something and I put my stamp on it, it's from the heart. Mm-hmm. Anything that I see that is fire, I'm putting more fire to it, because I want that person to know, like, this is fire. Like, keep it going, keep it coming. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I just love doing that. I love being in the mix of promoting, pushing, encouraging. You know, if I was in the church still, you know what I'm saying, I'd be like one of them ministers that's trying to get the people, like, come on, people, you know what I'm saying, and do what they need to do, you know what I mean? But, you know, I got street ministry, you know what I'm saying? So, I might not be, you know, active minister or nothing in the church, but I got street ministry. So my street ministry bring people together, you feel what I'm saying? So, I love it. I love it.
So let me ask you this. So you were born in D.C., correct?
Yes, born and raised in D.C.
And then you moved to Maryland. How old were you when you made that transition?
Oh, I just got to Maryland. I got to Maryland in 2018. Yeah. I just got to Maryland.
The reason why I ask is because usually when I talk to people and they have, like, maybe they're in their shell, or maybe they're more of an extrovert, but they take that introvert side of things, they usually have to move to another state where nobody knows them, and then they reinvent themselves. So when
I could go back in the hood, and they're going to still know me. You know what I mean?
So like, I was going to ask you, how did you get past that insecurity in your 20s? Like you said, you was going through it in your 20s. How were you able to get past that? And what was going on in your life where you was like, okay, like, enough is enough. I'm not living my true purpose. F y'all, let's get this.
Okay. I can give it to you straight up.
Hey, there's no time limit, by the way. Take your time with the story.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, because you know I get to talking now.
Get the talking, so
you
make girl. Sure
you be like, time.
Nah. But this our show. This our platform. We do what we do.
I appreciate you. So for me, I discovered that I needed to do a change in year 2014. Okay. I was a lieutenant at the time. Mm. I had pretty much everything that a person would want, you know, in their career at that time. But I really found out that certain things about me wasn't good, meaning like as far as how I was coming off to people, how I was just, you know, moving in the area of my authority, because I was authoritative, I was a lieutenant. So I always was moving in that space instead of letting that space go and be myself within that space. You understand what I'm saying? So it was turning people off.
Okay.
And I had a situation where I had a program manager at the time. And he said something to me that just stuck with me. And he was like, "You'll never reach your potential because you're in your own way." And I was like, fuck you talking about? Like, I was mad. I was like, what are you talking about, right? Uh-huh. And then I was like, coming from him, it was seemed very insulting because he wasn't even a leader. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had the position, but he wasn't a real leader. So when he said that to me, it just shook me at my core. And that's when I really started to evaluate how I'm moving as a person and how I need to change how I am. Not just in my career, but overall in my life.
And what changes were those?
Oh, prime example. I went from, when I was in that authority position, I felt like I had to be aggressive. I had to be mean. Like, I had to put on this persona, like, yeah, you're going to do what I say, da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? And just being overly aggressive. And none of that was necessary, because if I just been myself, they were going to do what I tell them to do regardless. But I had all that extra ego in it. It was messing up, you know, it was messing up my path. So the changes came with me humbling myself, because I had to realize that just like I'm in this position today, it could be gone tomorrow. And I had to become humble. I had to really get into like the anger. Why am I so angry? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, anger stems from somewhere. Like, you just don't wake up angry. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, if somebody did something to you that particular moment, then you become angry. But for you to be daily in and out, it got to be something within that has you angry. You know what I'm saying? So I really had to go into myself to figure out why I'm so angry. Like, why am I so aggressive? Why am I so, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And really, I had to break that stuff down and break it up and break it out. If that makes sense.
That's deep. You had to go within.
Yeah.
And now, within that time, is that the time you wind up getting a mentor?
No, my mentor was in my life at that time. I got her in 2005. So my mother, let me give you a little background.
Sure.
I wasn't raised by my mother. Okay. I was raised by my great great aunt. Mm-hmm. She was my mother's great aunt. So she was my great aunt. She took me in when I was 3 days old, and she was already 51. So I came up in a household where it was kind of aggressive, you know what I'm saying? Because she was like, she lived in New York for years, and then she came down to DC to help my grandma, and then I came along, then she raised me. So she had that, like, no nonsense, you know, type companionship type of love that she provided. Like, it wasn't affectionate love, but you know you was loved because she was like, bam, 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 you got this and that. So yeah, from that background growing up, so that's explained why I was so, you know what I'm saying, and not like soft and trying to, you know, be more personable in a friendly type of way, if that makes sense.
Now, so when you say soft, though, hold on. When you say soft, what does soft mean to Kim?
Well, we're not meaning that you're a sucker. I'm meaning that the compassion, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people, they can tell you that they love you, but you can't feel it.
Okay.
And when you tell somebody that you love them, yeah, you got to feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was always the type of person that was like, I love you and you should just know it because of what I do for you. But I never let people feel it, if that makes sense.
Deep.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. Keep going. I'm loving it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for me, those are a lot of things that people don't realize that they have to dig into. It wasn't anybody doing anything to me. It was issues that I needed to deal with myself and be true to myself and be like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what happened in the past. This is how it's trickling down and holding you up in your adulthood. This is what you need to do to get past it. You know what I'm saying? Because you hold on to stuff and you don't even realize how bitter you are until a situation comes and knocks you on your ass and you like, whoa, where'd that come from? A lot of the times when you experience those type of situations is because of you. It's not because of what the person done. Yeah, a person could have done something, but a lot of times those type of learning situations come in where you need to focus on you and get you together. And then you can be what you need to be to whoever is in your space.
So would you say that the aggressiveness was spilling over in different parts of your life then?
Yes.
And you did see it affect negatively or positively? Because there is a place for aggressiveness and assertiveness, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was just a bit more than what was required. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's of course, like now, anybody will tell you with the business, it's an aggressiveness for me. You know what I'm saying? Anything that I do for the business, it's going to be on a high level. It's going to be on an aggressive level, but it's not in a detrimental way. It's in a way where, as you make, you're hungry, you know, you're trying to get to the next level. That type of aggressiveness, but not in a detrimental way, how I was displaying with how I was interacting and just being as a person.
So in a detrimental way, like, would you say it would be like, I win, you die?
Listen, I mean,
hey, this is the war room, right? Like,
it's
called that for a reason. I know I had that type of mentality, you know, that stemmed from my pops, and like, it was recently and shit that I realized that I was actually I was a bastard child and shit, right? Like, my dad cheated on his wife and got with my mom. And I'm like, yo, my mom was a mistress, y'all. Like this, like recently, I pushed it off forever, but then I was like, wow. I was like, all right, let me own this. I'm gonna own this right here.
Yeah. Right?
Did you find yourself through, like, once you realize where this core anger was coming from, did you feel like you had to own it, or was you like, all right, I see it, I recognize it, now let me dismiss it?
Well, of course I went through an area of dismissal, because I'm going to be like,
yeah,
it's not me, it's them.
Yes, yes.
And perfect. And everybody else is trash. No. Right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. For a long time, it was an area of absolutely not. You're wrong and I'm right. You know what I mean? But I had to really sit down and, like, you know, more than one person is saying the same thing. So, you know, I might need to evaluate myself, you know what I'm saying? And it was at a time where enough was enough. I had to change so I could get into a different space. So I could rebuild myself, basically.
So yeah. What is the notary business, your first business, or?
It is my first business. Let me tell you, yes. I never in a million years ever would have thought I'd be filing an LLC and creating a brand.
Really?
That wasn't it. See, my mind and the way I grew up, you was hustling. You know what I'm saying? You was grinding, side hustle. You had about 5 side hustles, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it wasn't no business, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, now it's like, oh, I'm developing a whole brand here. Like, oh, Kim, you know what I'm saying? So for me, this is my baby. So, you know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to take care of it with very serious caution and high level intensity at the same time.
And you succeed. And one thing I wanted to say was congratulations. I knew you had set a goal where you wanted to get 152 assignments in a month. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you got a buck 59 and shit. So I wanted to salute you. 21 gun salute for you on that one.
Listen, that's because of you guys. That's because of y'all.
Oh, shout out to the Ghost Squad, by the way. Man, Ghost Squad. Throw some shots in the air, yo.
Yes, indeed. That's because of you guys. Listen, when I first started, for people that don't know, I have a full-time job. I work for the government full-time. But luckily, I got a sweet position where it's flexible. So I could do my full-time and I can dedicate the time that I need to the business. And I always limited myself because I was like, oh, I got this full time. I better only schedule a certain amount of appointments a day, just so I don't, be working too hard. But then I got with the squad and I just started seeing all these numbers throwing around. I was like, oh, I got to step my stuff up. They find out how many appointments I'm doing a day. They're going to be like, oh, they're about to give me the boot out this year. So, yeah, I stepped it up and I did it. Yeah.
Yeah, salute on that.
Appreciate you.
And I love it. You was like, yo, now I'm rolling out my digital product and you rolling out your businesses. I see the growth, and that's why I was like, I got to reach out to her and ask her to be on this war. I didn't even know you had a military background. So this is perfect.
No, that's not military. I was in federal contractor law enforcement, not military.
Oh, okay. I thought you were good.
No, not military.
When you just said not military, I said, oh shit, she gonna say she a lieutenant for a gang. God damn. No. I was like, it was like, no affiliation.
Go ahead.
No RICO statue on me, dude.
No, but my auntie here, she retired military army, so yeah, she ranked.
So one of the things that I love that you do, which I believe it takes tremendous confidence. Somebody has their thing on mute.
Aunt, your mic is on. You got to turn your mic off.
I got him.
Okay.
Okay. So one thing that I really admired that.
When did my mic get on?
Oh, Aunt, turn your mic off. The host is trying to ask me a question.
Auntie, you can jump in if you want to. You're good. You're good anytime. But what I wanted to say was one of the things that I really, really admire that you do.
Nene, off. Turn your mic off. I can't hear you.
No, I want to listen to what Auntie talking about.
I want to know what you're talking about too.
What's popping over there, Auntie?
Everything. I'm used to messing with Teams. I just said I don't like Zoom.
Oh, yeah, Teams, yeah. But yeah, we good now. Diddy.
We good?
Yeah,
all
we
right,
good.
So you did a video a couple of days ago. You said picking up the wife from the airport, and then I gotta tell you, I didn't show that shit to my wife because she was like, why you don't do that shit for me? I'm like, I ain't even trying to be in that. I ain't even trying to be in that sauce right there. I don't want
to do that thing. Yo, what the smoke
out? He was like, yo, I don't even like going to the dollar store. I bought this. So let me ask you, like, because this goes into something that's happening personally within my family structure, right? Mm-hmm. Where did you get the confidence and the strength to be comfortable with your lifestyle? That is really
strong. That's a wonderful question.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful question.
I'm T. Harvey right now.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna tap into Topra in a second.
Oh yeah, you giving it. So let me walk you through that. Mm-hmm. So, I had a boyfriend that died unexpectedly, right? And to be honest, after that, I ain't had nothing else left for no man, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I had been dealing with women for years, off and on, you know what I'm saying, in my early teenage years. So, I mean, it wasn't nothing new to me, but my family was a high church type family, so you know, they wasn't going for it. So my mom, like I told you, my great aunt that raised me from 3 days old, mm-hmm. she had went on home, you know, to be with the Lord and everything. So I was like, you know, I could do my thing, you know what I'm saying? Because I was with her, you know, I couldn't live that lifestyle, not in her house, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just was like, time to transition. So when I transitioned, I was always, even when I was girly, I always got, oh, you so aggressive, you so aggressive. Yeah, you know, you don't let me be the man. Da, 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 da. I'm like, could you move too slow? Da, da. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to step up. Like, you know, so I figured for me, yeah. you know, if I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be with women, I'm going to be in the masculine sense. You know what I'm saying? Because it fits me. I always get that. I've heard it for years. I've always got that. So I was like, for me, it fits me better versus me remaining girly and picking up a girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, nah, I don't want to be girly and picking up a girl. I'll go ahead and be, you know, the masculine end of things. So mm-hmm. for me, over the years, I'll be honest, this swag just came instant. Once I stepped in it, it was over. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So for me, it was easy because I just felt like I was really like, this is me. You know what I'm saying? I wish I could have been like this years ago. You know what I'm saying? Because even to this day, like guys that know me, guys know me from back in the day, guys know me from when I was girly, blah, blah. They talk to me the same way. And I don't know if that makes sense, but they really talk to me the same way. They don't talk to me like crazy, like, oh, look at you, da 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 da. They talk to me as if I still got my little dressing heels on. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. it's no funny. You know what I'm saying? They ain't treating funny, or they ain't try to, you know, shoot the shot still or none of that stuff. They just respected it. So for me, it just was easy. So I can't explain it another way. It's like super easy.
No, it was a smooth road for you with that, as far as like even putting it on social media, everything like that. You, like, there was no hiccup with that, no hesitation at all?
No, the only hesitation that I had was telling my family, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I had to. You know, I had to break it down to my mentor, my mom, that's my other mom. I had to break that down to her, you know what I'm saying? I had to break it down to like my mother's side of the family, because they like church, you know, churchy. So, you know, I just wanted to let them know, hey, if I do arrive at the Thanksgiving dinner, might be a chick with me, and that's that. You know what I mean? So I just was upfront with it, so I didn't. It wasn't like a hiding type of thing. So I just went ahead and just told who I needed to tell so I could just go ahead and do my thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel no hesitation. I mean, of course I was a little nervous, you know, telling them, but once I told them, it was over.
So I think this is great because you entered the situation with supreme confidence. So let me give you what's going on my side, right? So my, and Chanel, if you're watching this, this is for you, man. This is for you, nigga. Right? So Chanel, that's the name that you would prefer to be called, right?
Okay.
Cool brother, but he's making the transition into being a woman, right?
And, okay.
Taking the hormones and everything like that, and right now Chanel is in a very bad state of depression, where we're very concerned about him possibly trying to do some bodily harm to himself. I take that back, Chanel, herself, right? And you know, my wife's family never been in a situation like that. So I'm like, all right, you know what? There's a great opportunity. I get to talk to Kim. Kim, maybe she could give some insights and maybe not only help Chanel, but other people that may be going through a situation like this. Heck, there's heterosexuals out there that go through the same shit.
Oh, yeah.
So what kind of advice would you give to a young person that is very conflicted with their sexuality, have not been accepted by the entire family like that, but knows this is the road for me, and they've reached a depression, this state of limbo. How can we, or how can you share some information to help Chanel out?
Well, first of all, you got to reach Chanel with love. You know what I'm saying? If she is in what she's in, love got to be the first thing that leads. You can't lead with the, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. That will push somebody into depression. Oh, I don't think you're doing, oh, you're going to hell. All those things, that's going to push somebody into depression. Anybody that you're trying to reach that's in a depression, you got to lead with love. You got to lead with sensitivity. You have to think about, you know, what if this was your child? You know what I'm saying? Because it could be like an auntie looking in, like, oh, and that's her sister's child or whoever the connection goes. Like, you got to consider, what if that's your child? You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't want anybody to be, you know, bashing your child or telling your child what to do and how they should do it. I mean, I would just say whoever is on Chanel's side, to encourage them to push that love. And put that concern and show that they care and not just be silent because everybody else is like, oh, this is wrong, da 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 da. Because that's how sometimes family do. If they got a strong member in the family and they barking, talking about it's wrong, or no, we not supporting it and this and that, then the people that actually will embrace Chanel will be quiet because they don't want to look like they going against the grain. You know what I'm saying? But at a time like this, especially if you feel like she's going to do harm to herself, it has to be people that's in her immediate space that could reach her, and you got to love on her. Got to, triple time, not just the text message, because text message, you know, sometimes you got to pick up the phone, sometimes you got to drive by, you know what I'm saying, and just check on a person and see them eye to eye, you know what I'm saying? And that's where a person can feel the connection. You could text a person and be like, oh, I love you, and da 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 da. But if Chanel is going in a state of depression, that text message is not going to reach it. You know what I'm saying? You got to go above and beyond, and you got to find people that's right there that can get to her and show her that love and that compassion and that, just let her feel love. You know what I'm saying? Love, a lot of people be like, oh, love is overrated. But in certain situations, love is what a person need. Because if you in a space where you feeling alone and you thinking you don't have nobody, that love can come in and rescue you. I know love rescued me. You know what I'm saying? Because had I not open myself up, because I was hard and aggressive. If I hadn't opened myself up to be able to be loved, to be able to distribute love, I would be unreachable. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. You have to go into that place to reach a person, and you got to reach them with love. I believe that 100%.
Now let me ask you this, because I think that's fantastic. Let's just say these people are just stuck in their damn minds, like they still live back in the days. And Chanel needs to reach down within herself. Is there anything that Chanel could do? Like, let's just say, all right, the world doesn't love me. All right, fuck them, right? Like, you can easily say fuck the world, and then it's me and my wife, we getting it popping. I definitely could do that. Is there anything that we can tell Chanel personally that she could do to build up her confidence and her strength? Is it like, could it be like move to another state? I don't know.
But to be honest with you, if she's in a place where she's not really herself, she don't need to move. She need to be connected to, you got to build a connection for her first to help her see that she can go into herself and pull herself out. But a person that's depressed, they're not going to see that. They're not going to, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to see that. It takes a certain way to approach them to know, so they can know that, hey, I can rely on myself, because right now they're depressed and they're going through what they're going through. They're not going to see it. They're not going to feel like they got the strength to get themselves out of where they at. So even if it's going to a professional, and having a professional try to assist Chanel if she's open. But if she's not open to that, then it will pretty much be like a, you know, a battle. But I would suggest that, let me ask you this. Is there anybody else in the family that's in the life?
Yeah, so the pops ain't really feeling it. The aunt, Chanel's grandmother is accepting. The auntie's accepting everything. It's just a few of the pockets that, like, man, your name ain't Chanel. You was born in this. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Are those her favorite people? If she has a group of people that's accepting her and that's accepting it, the people that's not, are those are her favorite people?
They hang around a lot. The ones that support her hang around the ones that don't support her.
Okay. And that's, you know what I mean? Figured. That's what I figured. And that's what I was just saying, that you could be around, you know, the people that do accept it, but you get that one that like, you da 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 da. Then the other people like, you know, I'ma just accept you in private. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that ain't gonna help. So for me, I'm just like, if it was anybody in the lifestyle in your family, along with Chanel, I would get them to talk with her. Because honestly, you have to have a person that's not necessarily that's transitioning fully as Chanel is, but somebody in the lifestyle that could reach her, that knows how it is to transition. Because just like me, I could talk to Chanel, even though I'm not transitioning into a man fully, but I could talk to Chanel because I have transitioned at one point in my life and I had to go through the hurdles of that adjustment. So it could be someone that's in the family, that's living the lifestyle, that could reach her, that could talk to her. The people that are supporting her, encourage them to leave with love. Diddy, you a perfect person, because you can reach people.
I support Chanel. I'd be like, man, you could go
on. Yeah, you can reach her and just be like, man, Chanel, fuck all that. Like, for real. It really burns me up when people do that to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it from my end because my family was in the church, you know what I'm saying? And I get that perspective. But if I'm an adult and I'm making my move, you should have nothing to say. It's not affecting you. Y'all looking at it from the sexual perspective, and that's where you always go wrong. I didn't transition for the sexual perspective only. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and that's what immediately what people think. People think about, they just think about the sexual perspective of the lifestyle. The lifestyle is, the sexual part is not the only part of the lifestyle. It's not the meat and potatoes of the lifestyle. It's just basically how you feel being with a same-sex person, how, just like how you would feel being with a heterosexual person. It's no different. The levels of love, the levels of building, the levels of relationship that you go through in a heterosexual relationship, you go through in a same-sex relationship. Sex is definitely the cherry on top, but that is not what people just wake up and be like, "Ooh, I'm about to transition," you know, Kim, because they thinking about sex. But that's how the people that's against it think. They think about the sexual part instead of just thinking about the whole thing, just like how they would be in their heterosexual relationship.
Mm-hmm. Kim, I believe the trill spill that you shared with us on this show today is going to save some lives.
Listen, and that's my thing. I'm a very transparent person, and the reason why I'm so transparent is because I've been through quite a bit, and people wouldn't believe the stuff I've been through. You know what I'm saying? And I know for me that if I could reach one person and they could say, "Man, Kim, man, you really helped me. You really blessed me." And I really get that. You know what I'm saying? And I get that. I don't get it no every day or anything, but I do get it. And when I do, it means a lot because I want to be able to help people. I went through a lot to get to where I am today. You know what I'm saying? Like, rebuilding myself as a person, rebuilding myself in a career, rebuilding myself. And I ain't even build being a business owner, but I'm rebuilding myself as a business owner. And I ain't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, people like, "Oh, I had my business for 5 years." Well, I've had mine for one and I'm rebuilding that. So, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just like, I'm just always, just like I said earlier, I'm in an area of growth. So I'm just like trying to reach everybody. Like, I'm trying to reach everybody, trying to let people know that this is where it's at. Because had I not been exposed to this business, ownership, lifestyle, because it's a lifestyle for me. Mm-hmm. Being a business owner, it's not no play for me. Yeah. It's going to be a full-blown lifestyle. Entrepreneurship is going to be an aspect where somebody see Kim Yanni, like they see behind me right here, they're going to think of a whole brand, not just a little notary business, as they call, you know, as some people call it. This is going to be a brand. So
you're not just doing a notary business. You have a business credit business as well.
Yeah, I'm doing business credit. I've been studying business credit since 2021, and I started putting it in place for the business. So, that's my thing. That's going to be my thing. I am going to be teaching current business owners, people that want to be business owners, even people that have the desire to be, but they're scared. I want to reach them. You know what I'm saying? Because one thing about it, when fear is in your lane, fear should be a damn disease, for real. It should be a disease in a hospital that people can go get treated for. Because yeah. I'm serious. That's how fear paralyzes your life. If I still had that mentality of being, "Oh my God, I don't think I could ever do that. Yes. I don't think I could do this. I don't think I could do that." I'm going to tell you something. I got my project management certification in 2019. I'm not a school type of person. You know what I'm saying? I was taught and raised get a job. Because I was raised by an older person that was like, no, forget school, get a job. So mm-hmm. I got a job and I got several jobs. So, you know what I'm saying? At once. So had I not stepped out of that fear of, oh my goodness, I'm not a school person. I can't do this. And that, mm-hmm. I would have never got that project management certification. I got that project management certification to turn my career around so I can get into the government. I put it in the air, 2018, I want to go to the government. I want to be a government employee. I want to go sit at my desk and like the rest of the people, you know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
And I put it in the air, 2018, got my project management certification, 2019, 2020, I got hired for the government.
Congrats.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm big on manifestation. I'm big on telling people to move past fear. Fear will paralyze. I mean, it's people that's scared to go outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's people that stay in their house 24/7. Like, I see it on TV. Like, people really stay in their house 24/7. It's crazy. Absolutely not. I don't want anybody around me that's paralyzed with fear.
Give me 3 tips on how someone can overcome fear.
Oh. Well, 3 tips? Okay, the first one, you got to have God in your life. I ain't getting spiritual or anything, but you got to have God in your life. God is as front and center in my life, first of all.
Mine too.
Yes, first of all. That's the person that's going to get you out of that fear. Have God first. Number 2, pinpoint your fears. Mm. What is it? What is it that you're scared of?
Yeah.
Write that sucker out. I know you said 3, but write that sucker out. Write it out. The Bible say, write the vision, make the vision, write it out, make it plain. You know, I ain't no super spiritual person, but I know the Bible says something like that. I'll get it right later on. But that basically it's just saying that you put it in writing, make it plain so you can see it. Because if you don't see it, you can't conquer it.
She's butchering the sermon.
Listen, I'm just telling you some good stuff. If you don't put it out there, you don't write it out so you can see it, you ain't going to be able to conquer it.
Indeed.
And I'm just a believer in that. You anything that you put in writing and you see it, and it's in front of you, there's no way you can run from it because it's right there. If you in your mind and you just like you have your thoughts controlling the situation, you like, oh, I can't do this. Yeah. But once you put that sucker down on paper and like, I am afraid of this, I am afraid of that. Da 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 da. And then you go back, why am I afraid of this? Hmm. Then you go, wow, I really don't know why I'm afraid. I'm just afraid. Get unafraid and do it. Like, get past it. That's how I feel.
So that's 2.
Anybody.
Actually, you gave me 2.
Okay, I gave you 2. So God. So then write it out. And then just do it. Like, you got to do the opposite of what you're scared of. So if you're scared to cross the street, you got to cross that street. You like, you know what I'm saying? Or, oh, I'm scared of heights. You got to get on that roller coaster and get, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm just using that as an example, but people ain't going to get on no roller coaster. But I'm just saying, you know, just the break, you got to do something to break that fear. And that's how you get out of it.
So, Kim, we got to go into the Q&A part. You can ask Kim some questions. Whoever would like to tap in, if you can raise your hand, that would be perfect. But if not, we'll just like unmute yourself and then you can ask Kim a question or just show love, throw flowers, all that. Okay, we got LaShawn. LaShawn, you can go ahead and unmute.
That's my aunt.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to know where you get that smile from.
Oh, that, you know, that's that good cook gene right there.
I think it really draws people in. You know, and like I said before, is infection. It's like it draws folks in. So your personality is it's just on point. And I think that's it helps with the business and it helps draw more people to you and want to work with you and want to refer others to you and just be around you. So keep up that great smile.
Appreciate you, aunt. Love you. Appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, one thing about me, unless you piss me off, I'm going to be smiling. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Gemini, so it could go right or left at any time. So if I'm smiling, we all good in the hood. You hear me?
Who else would like to speak to Kim? You can either unmute yourself or raise your hand, and then I'll select you to talk to Kim Yanni. So you're doing a waiting list right now for the business credit.
Yes.
So how can people be added to your waiting list real quick?
Listen, I need you guys to contact me on IG. Send me a DM with your name and your email, and I'll gladly add you to the waiting list. Listen, what I'm going to be putting out about business credit, it is not, I repeat, it is not for you to go get a G-Wagon. I ain't into all that. I'm into you structuring your business. You have to have your business structured before you begin your business credit journey. I don't care what no business credit coach tells you. You have to have your business properly structured, one. So that's what I'm going to be diving into, getting your business properly structured. And then after that, then it's going to be all wheels off on you building your credit, giving you different options and different ways to run, depending on your goals, because a lot of people have different goals. Me, I'm trying to get into business funding. So that's where I'm at with business credit. But a lot of people, they just want to be able to get ink and paper and printers, you know what I'm saying? Like supplies and things like that. So you want to get with me to get on this waiting list, DM me, send me your name and your email, and I got you.
And I'm putting her DM in here right now. So you guys can hit her up on IG. That way you can be added to her waiting list as soon as it opens. We got Bonita, unmute yourself.
Hi, Mom.
Hey. Hey, everybody. I am freaking ecstatic just to hear Kim talk. So I kind of want to go back because you were, you know, making reference, you know, and I know, you know, I was there when you were working through your anger, but I believe it's important for the people to know. And I think you kind of alluded to the fact that you kind of had to delve within to identify, you know, what was causing the anger. What is kind of, I know you could probably give me several things, but what was that one thing that caused that level of anger, which I believe could probably help somebody else? And it may very well tie into the area of the problem that Chanel is dealing with. So what is that one area that we would always talk about that caused that level of inner anger? And I know you know where it ties in at.
Wait. Before you answer that, let me just give you the microphone, Benia, because you're way better than this than I am.
Listen, my mom gonna come in with it. She gonna get into the nitty gritty. Yeah?
Nice.
You nice keep it serving. She gonna dig deep. But no, well, honestly, Ma, you know what we at, so I'm putting it all on the floor. I mean, for me, I dealt with a serious area of abandonment. You know what I'm saying? Abandonment created the insecurity of not being loved, not being accepted, feeling like that pretty much nobody wanted to deal with me. And that just came from the way I was raised. So as I shared with you guys, my great-great aunt took me in at 3 days old. She was already 50 plus when I got on the earth. So she took me in and she did everything that she could. I mean, everything. I mean, she was everything to me, but I was missing parent. You know what I'm saying? I wanted a family. I wanted to be like the kids at my school that had a mother and a father dropping them off to school. And right. Not my great-great aunt. And I wasn't ungrateful. I don't want you to get it like that, but being in that space, being raised by your great great aunt, and you seeing your friends, and you know they got their mom and dad. Yeah. You like, damn, I can't have my mom and dad. So unfortunately, my father, he committed suicide when I was a little girl. So, you know, that was, of course, beyond my control. And unfortunately, he didn't even know about me. You know what I'm saying? I could have saved his life. That's what I feel in my heart. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't even know about me. So that's my mother's fault. But that's another story for another day. But yeah, I dealt with a serious area of abandonment. And that's where I could reach Chanel and let her know that even the family that's not supporting you, embrace the family that is supporting you and know that you love. Because it took me years to get to that space, to know that I was accepted by somebody and loved by somebody, because I was always felt like I was just pushed along and passed along, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot
of sense. Yeah, I mean, it makes all the sense. I mean, and that's kind of, you know, what I just kind of wanted you to add. You did amazing. I was here wiping tears. That's like, I'm cleaning face and everything because I was ecstatic, but I just wanted you, I knew the area of abandonment and rejection. Yeah. And once you deal with that, I mean, and that's why the doors and the skies are the limit for you. And everything you've spoken to existence from the time, I literally remember you, I want to be in the government. You kept us like, keep speaking it in the manifestation. So I'm just proud of you. And I just had to just give a shout out because I'm freaking ecstatic. Okay, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm off.
I love you, bye. I appreciate you.
I love you. All right. No
problem. I love you too.
All right.
All right. We got Shirley. Shirley, come on through.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
What up?
Yeah, Shirley, my dog. What's up, Shirley?
I'm good. Look, y'all don't want to see me right now, but Kim, you already know how much love I have for you, girl. I ain't even met you yet, but for real, like on everything, you have just been so transparent tonight. The honesty, everything that you have, you know, mentioned, that it's ridiculous how open that you have shared everything tonight. It's just inspirational. And I am so grateful to you. Please believe it. Your words are not falling on deaf ears. No. You might have like 20 people up in here tonight, but thousands of people you have reached tonight. Okay.
I appreciate you. That means a lot. I appreciate you.
No doubt. You know everything I'm going through, and your words have definitely inspired me. So I really want to know, like, when you're gonna be this motivational speaker, because honestly it's right there, it's at the tip.
listen right, I'm gonna tell you something funny. I listen to Les Brown all the time, right? And I be like, I'm about to be Les Brown, you hear me? But you know, I don't have like the intellectual level that Les have, but I definitely can reach people. I mean, I wish I could explain the joy I get with just helping people, you know what I'm saying? And just trying to get people to dig deep. Like my mom was just on here. She taught me how to do that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know how to do that. I was a lost in the sauce. But she taught me how to do that. And ever since she did that, you know what I'm saying, I wanted to be able to do that for other women specifically, you know what I'm saying? But anybody, men too. Men come and talk to me all the time. I mean, chill. I mean, like, I have men that, like, really trust me. You know what I'm saying? Trust my opinion. Trust me. Trust my word. So it feels good. You know what I'm saying? It feels really good to be able to be a vessel of help to people. I don't look for nothing in return. I don't ask nobody for nothing. Like, I'm one of them people that, man, before I ask somebody for a dollar, I'll go and sand and get me one of the metal machines to buy me a dollar. Like, I'm just that type of person. I'm not about to, you know, it's just, that's just how I am, you know what I'm saying? I guess that's the South side in me. Like, you know, you're going to make it make sense. You're going to figure it out. So, yeah, I appreciate you, Shirley, for real.
And that's right. You did some conference stuff too. Were you a VJ? You a voice jockey? Like a host?
Oh yeah, they had me MC that joint. And the crazy thing is, I've never done that in my life. when I was asked to do it, I said, "Y'all want me to do
it?" See that?
I'm like, oh, okay. So you know, I just stepped out there. You know, I just stepped out there. Like, Lord, I hope these people have a good time.
And you did the damn thing.
Yeah, but I heard people came up to me and said they really enjoyed themselves. They really enjoyed me on the mic. So I was happy about that. So, yeah, I didn't even know I would do something like that. Now I can add that to the roster.
Is that something that you plan on doing more of?
Sure. Did somebody have me? I sure would. Yeah, I had a ball. You know, it was definitely a learning experience, but I had a complete ball doing that. Yeah, I definitely would do it again. If I was asked, yep.
Perfect. So anybody looking for a host for their next event, Kimyani is available.
Hey, yes, indeed.
So reach out to him on IG. Hey, and I got a broker for you. Bastard, you cheap bastard. I need my cut. any last parting words, Kim?
Listen, first of all, I just want to thank the GOAT, T. Diddy, for having me, little old me, on this platform. It meant the world to me. I was in New Orleans when you hit me up. I was like, had a little tipsy, you know, I enjoyed myself, took a couple of days off. Me and the wife flew out for a little bit. So when I got the alert, I was like, oh, woo-hoo. I said, listen, guys, I got to sit down for a second because I got to respond to T-Diddy right now. So, yeah, so I was so happy and so excited and just thankful for the opportunity. Like, everybody that came on here today, I just hope you take away these few things. You know, God can use anybody. He can use anybody. He could take a person that has had a rough childhood, raised a certain type of way, had death in their family, lost their parents, I mean, all types of things, and just use them to bless people, you know what I'm saying? And for me, it's not just about being, you know, I'm not the type of person that want to be seen, you know, I want to be heard. And the thing that's important to me, what I'm saying, is reaching people, and it's changing people's lives. I'm not here for the, you know, the extra that others are here for. I'm here to know that people can be like, wow, I interacted with Kim and Kim was definitely the vibe that she presents on Instagram. Because what you see is what you get. It ain't gonna be no grand transformation or anything. When you see me, this is it. So, you know, I just wanted, you know, to thank everybody for coming out. You know, one thing about me, anytime I can help somebody, I'm willing to do so. I also want you to know that, please, if it's something that you're trying to do for your business, don't let fear get in the way. Please, write it out. Even if you're not ready to do it yet, just write it out. Put it in your journal, whatever you book you have. Write it down and look at it and study it so it can get into your spirit. Because I'm telling you, it's so many people that's waiting for, not just me, not just for T. Diddy, just waiting for you. You could be the person that changed somebody in the business realm. So that's what I want to especially talk about, that as well. Yeah.
Have you looked at the chat? I mean, everybody giving you flowers on it. I mean, it's lit up. Do you see it?
Yeah, I see it.
It's on fire.
Yeah, I love it. I appreciate y'all being on here because it's 8:13. So I know people like, okay, let's wrap it up. But I appreciate everybody, for real. I'm just so excited. You know what I'm saying? When I log off here, I'm going to be in amped still.
Hey, you guys, you share this with your friends, your family members. We talked about some deep subjects today.
Yeah.
It can definitely help somebody, whether it's through fear, whether it's through being ostracized in life, whether it's, you know, being comfortable in your own skin. We talked about some serious topics. And Kim, I thank you so much. I'm humbled that you are here, that you agreed to be on the show. And I'm extremely honored to have you. So with that being said, everybody, peace, love, and happiness. I wish you guys the very best. And